So Jesus is now 30 years old. And one of the reasons he waited until he was 30 to start his public ministry was that for the Jews, you were not considered a teacher or a rabbi until you were 30 years old. So now Jesus can stand up and begin teaching. So they ask him, we have 613 rules, and every teacher, every rabbi has their beliefs or their focus. So they're asking Jesus, what is your focus? And oftentimes when they would ask a rabbi that question, they would make them stand. They said, could you please stand on one foot as you answer? Because we don't want you talking for an hour. That's why they would do that. So just give us a short answer, okay? Because you're a teacher, you're a rabbi. You could go for hours like Paul did. And so just stand on one foot. It doesn't say if Jesus stood on one foot, but he does answer very short. He just says, you know, how do you read it? Of the 613 rules we have, what do you think? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God, whole mind, heart, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, that's it. You got it. Love the Lord your God with your whole mind, heart, and soul. 100%. That means, like I've said before, you don't think about yourself. Do you want to love God? He's your heavenly Father. He created you. He loves you. He loves all of us. To love someone means you don't think about yourself. You don't think about yourself. You're thinking about him as you go through your day. And your one desire is to be pleasing to him. I want to do your will and be pleasing to you, Lord, at every moment of my day. I don't think for myself. I don't have my own opinions. I have your opinions. I don't say this is what I want. I say, what do you want? Because I love you. My focus is on you. It's not on me. Jesus says, thank you. There are so few who will do that. There's a little part of us that just wants to live without God. But no, he says, you must love the Lord your God with your whole mind, heart, and soul. And Jesus says, I will help form you. I will help form your opinions and your conscience. I give you my word. I give you the teachings. This is a divine word. And these are divine teachings that my church is going to give you, the catechism. And that forms one divine word, the teachings and the scriptures. That's where we go. And he says, and then I'm going to give you the sacraments to support you. And then I'll give you your brothers and sisters to help you along, to support each other. So love God with your whole mind, heart, and soul. But then your neighbor also exists. And what you must recognize is that there's a divine spark in every one of your neighbors. Every person on earth is in the image and likeness of God, even the irritable ones. Even the cranky ones. Little YouTube video I saw of a girl probably 8 years old, and she's from the South, so she had a Southern accent, and she was talking to her dad out by the barn before they were going into the house, and she said, I had a bad day. I'm cranky, I'm tired, and I worked hard at school. And her dad said, so does that mean we're not going to wrestle tonight? And as she's walking away, she says, well, maybe, but not if I can't stop being cranky and tired. just so cute. Even the cranky ones, the tired ones, that they're still a divine spark. And so Jesus says, you must recognize that. So, yes, love me with your whole mind, heart, and soul. But then in your neighbor, you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Take that love you have and give it to your neighbor. Even the Samaritans, those are our enemies. This is a teacher of the law. He's a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. These are all Jews. And the Samaritans were their enemies. 721 years before Christ, before Jesus, the Assyrians up in Syria, modern-day Syria, the Assyrians came down and invaded and took over the Holy Land. Took many people back and enslaved them. They occupied the Holy Land and began to control and intermarry with the people, the Jews. So the Jews that intermarried with them and adopted their pagan practices, they were considered half-breeds by the Jews who did not do that. Those are the Samaritans, the half-breeds. And so for 700 years, the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. The Samaritans lived in the middle of the Holy Land, and the Jews lived all around them. And that's why when Jesus wanted to come down from Galilee down to Jerusalem, the Samaritans wouldn't let him go through the town. And that's why it was so unusual for Jesus to talk to the Samaritan woman at the well. They hated each other. So he says, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And even my enemy? That's why Jesus uses the Samaritan. So he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem, 15 miles down to the Dead Sea to Jericho. And he's a Jew. He's coming from Jerusalem. The Samaritans didn't live in Jerusalem. So a Jew is going down and he's attacked by robbers and he's left half dead. So he's bleeding, maybe dead. And two Jews who are priests, who are spiritual leaders, a Levite and a priest, go by and you're not allowed to touch blood or a dead person, or you would be impure. You could not go back into the temple in Jerusalem. And they're priests, so that's their job, is to be in the temple. So they avoid the man. And then he says, and then one of our enemies, the Jew, one of the Samaritans, is moved with compassion. And he touches him and he bandages him. And then he puts him on his animal, takes him to the inn and pays 2 silver coins. And a silver coin was worth about a day's wage. So if you make minimum wage, you make, what, $120 a day, which is about what it would cost for a hotel. And so basically he's paying $240. Saying, and he doesn't even know the man. And he says, take care of him. And I'll be coming back tomorrow, and if you incur any more expenses, I'll pay those too. Pure compassion. And he doesn't get back anything in return, right? Nothing comes back to him, and he doesn't ask for anything. This is pure love. By the way, this is how our Father treats us. It's pure gift. He makes pure gift to us. And he says, I just want your love in return. I love you, you love me. I live for you, you live for me. And this man is doing that. This is extraordinary love. Our charity has to be extraordinary. So people will say, wow, that's not normal how you love. Tell me more about that. Catherine of Siena lived in the 1300s in a town called Siena, Italy. She began to receive visions and messages from the Lord, and she became popular. And there was a woman in Siena who hated her because of that and wanted to destroy her and started spreading rumors about her that she was having an affair with one of the priests, hurting her deeply. And then, after a few years, that woman got sick and she was dying. And Catherine took care of her until she died. And that woman knew that Catherine knew that she was trying to destroy her earlier. That's extraordinary. Thérèse of Lisieux, she hated spiders. And she went into one of the rooms and she wanted to put her bag on the chair. She didn't want to put it on the floor because she didn't want to have a spider come in. And then it came to her mind just suddenly, yeah, but if I do that, one of the other sisters won't be able to put her bag there. So I'll put mine on the floor. If I get a spider, I'll deal with it, Lord. And so I'll leave that chair open for the other sister. Catherine and Thérèse, they did that every day. So you can have charity once in a while, right? We can all be nice on occasion. But most people, when they're frustrated or they're stressed or they're sick or they're triggered, we easily lose our patience. We lose our charity. They did not. You stay with that consistent charity. I saw this in our own parish, St. Vincent de Paul. They're open on Wednesdays from like 10 to 1, and somebody came at 10 after 1 to the office and talked to me, and they said, I need some help. I said, I don't know, let me see. And I saw the door was open. I said, well, I don't know, let's go see. So we walked over, and they were all sitting at the table having lunch. And I kind of felt bad. I didn't want to interrupt their lunch. They were like closed, right? They were done. And I said, sorry to interrupt, but this gentleman says he needs some help. And, you know, normal charity would say, yeah, we're happy to help you. Can you have a seat over there? Or just, we'll be done in about 10 minutes with our lunch. That's normal charity. We're willing to help you after hours. But they said, yeah, we'll help you. Yeah, sure. And then one of them said, would you like something to eat? You want to join us? That's supernatural. And that's every day. That's morning, noon, and night. When you feel good and you don't feel good, that's the supernatural. Some of our kids have been doing that. You know how the kids, you guys bring your envelopes, they bring their envelopes in the collection, and on the back it says you can put your name, and then my good deed was cleaning my room and doing all my chores. I helped Grandma in her garden. Getting out of the way of a mean girl. I don't know if that was charity or just being smart. Yeah, self-preservation. I told my brother he was brave for jumping into the pool. I shared my food, but it doesn't say if it was pizza or broccoli. I did good at school. I guess that means I did my homework. I did yard work with my grandpa because he's getting old and it's hard for him to do it. Extraordinary charity that is constant day in and day out without ever changing, that's supernatural. Okay, you and I can't do that on our own because we're in our fallen humanity. We will go up and down. But if we lean into Christ, it's possible. And that's why Jesus said, love God. You have to love God first. You have to conceive my love in you. And he says, you know, why don't you ask for my heart to love with? Because most of the time, your heart isn't going to be able to do it. You don't like Democrats. You don't like Republicans. It surprises me how polarized our society is. People hating each other just because of ideologies, right? Just because of beliefs, secular beliefs. So I cannot hang around you. You cannot be my friend. Jesus says, why don't you take my heart? And so I will ask him oftentimes, Jesus, especially if I know I'm going into a difficult situation, having to care for my parents now who are aging, I say, Jesus, you give me your heart. Give me your heart. And with your heart, I think I can do it. So lean into Christ and ask for his heart. And then when you do love people, love them in love Christ in them. That's what Catherine did to the woman who hated her. Jesus, I'm loving you in her. So love Christ in them. And then one last suggestion. Just don't go too quickly from emotion to decision. We all are going to feel emotions. We're all going to feel that visceral, right? That visceral stress, tension, anger, frustration. And too often we feel that, we get triggered, and then we move right into a decision, and we act. And did your parents ever to say to you, you know, what were you thinking? What were you thinking when you did that? And I remember one time saying, I don't think I was thinking. I think that was the problem. I don't think I was thinking. And so take a little bit of time. When you are triggered, when you see the construction workers blocking off every street that goes to your home in paradise, that's what's been happening to me because I live up off of Skyway in between Wagstaff and Clark, and that's right where they're doing all the roads. And so I can't get up and down Elliott because they're working on Elliott. I try to go up Skyway, and they're closing Skyway. Go around on Rocky Lane. And this last time when I went up on Rocky Lane, I stopped at the stop sign, and the man, you know, the man with the sign, he says, hey, Father, you going down to Quail? What a good memory. He remembered where I lived. So he let me go down. But, you know, that could be very tempting to yell at those guys, right? When are you guys going to get done with that work? What are you doing? These guys are husbands and fathers and wives and mothers. They live in Redding and Red Bluff and Corning. They're driving to paradise. They're just trying to get by, right? They're just doing their job. And so, Lord, give me your heart. Give me your heart to love with. And then when I love them, I will do it for you. This is for you, Lord. And then help me to pause when I am triggered, just to take a moment. Before I react, before I make a decision with my will, let me think. Just let me think a little bit, Lord. Jesus says, my child, don't leave me alone. Lean into me first. Remember, the greatest commandment. Love me with your whole mind, heart, and soul, and I will give you my heart with which to love others.